Welcome to The Seer Show. Join us as we explore medicine, health, mental health, mindset, and fitness, guided by lifelong seeker of knowledge, Sifu Raphael. He will lead us on a transformative journey with groundbreaking insights and extraordinary guests from around the world. Together, we'll dive into the latest holistic approaches to well-being and the profound connections between mind, body, and soul. Sifu Raphael's expertise in positive thinking, resilience, and personal growth will inspire you to reach new heights. Get ready for The Seer Show. It's time to embrace a brighter, healthier, and more empowered future.
Good morning, Tracy, Matthew. Thank you both for joining me today. I truly, truly appreciate you. And I know, Matthew, you're in the middle of a storm, but man, nothing held you back. You're here. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. So we have some interesting topics today, and I'm very excited. Anybody who'd like to take it away, I'd love to hear.
Oh, well, I'm super excited about talking about self-control, because I think it's one of the things that most human beings struggle with. They have this thought that they're either out of control, or they want more control, or maybe it's not even a thought that is actually in their awareness, but it's more of a feeling. And I like to help people really overcome that, because that, of course, can get in the way of living your best life when you have this constant thought or feeling of, you know, this inability to control something. And so I have a methodology that I use with anybody who's willing to listen. It's a very simple framework, and I use the acronym SELF to help people remember it. Because as you are using that framework, you're also kind of gleaning a better understanding of yourself, which is ever so helpful in our day-to-day life. So that's what I'm excited to talk about today.
Awesome. I love the self aspect of it. And we've had a conversation on it as well. And I love the way you make it so simple, yet effective if somebody decides they're going to use it. Because that's one of the decisions that we all have. Every day we have a choice. What are we going to do with our lives? What are we going to do with the choices that are in front of them? Even if you don't act, that's a choice, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's an unintentional choice, but nevertheless, it is a choice. And so having that awareness of how your unintentional thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, like choices or lack thereof, you know, how those unfold for you, what kind of results you're getting from all of this unintentional way of living, is really good to know. Because when you see that, then you're more likely to actually step into a place of making a decision and asking yourself, you know, do I want to continue to live this life? Do I want to continue to get those results? I mean, and we're talking, you know, big and small. This could be something as simple as, do I want to continue to yell at my kids every night before they go to bed because, you know, they didn't get their chores done? Or it could be, do I want to continue to drink that bottle of wine before I go to bed? I mean, both of them have consequences probably. And we're not talking about, you know, only using this methodology when, you know, it's life altering. It can actually be really helpful in, you know, your day-to-day practices, just to actually feel moment by moment better, you know, as you walk through life. So yeah.
You said probably, I think most definitely it would have an impact. You know, if you're going to have a glass of wine every single night, it's going to impact you in one way or another. Right. You might not see it right away. Right. Same thing if you think that yelling at your kids every night is not really having an impact, but then later on when your kids are sitting on somebody's couch because of the trauma that you caused, there it is, right? So yeah. Matthew, you know, you're very well versed on emotional intelligence. What are your thoughts on everything that Tracy has said so far?
Actually, I'm very interested to maybe go through that process with her and just experience it for myself. I typically enjoy jumping into the deep end and just seeing the different modalities, because I know a lot of what I end up helping is entrepreneurs, because obviously I'm in the entrepreneurial space. And what I always say is, you know, trauma is a lack of self-control or a lack of control. And so if you think about it in business, when are you actually in control? And so a lot of times, the more that we are willing to talk about the experiences that we had, and I do that with entrepreneurs, I realize that that is a group of people that literally have experienced a lot of trauma. And the what I think is that they've learned how to cope with trauma, whether it's in a healthy way or unhealthy way. It could be being a workaholic or, you know, just the way that they show up for work. And so the more that they can talk about that and start healing those things, their businesses and their lives actually get a lot better. So mm-hmm. those triggers are really opportunities for us.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about control, a lot of people want to be in full control, but sometimes we have to give up control in order to get more, don't we?
Yes. Yes, for sure. And I think control is actually an illusion. What we really need to learn is to just be okay with what is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah.
Let's get into self.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it really does start with, you know, making a decision, deciding what it is that you want, you know, and like I said, it can be the big and the small things. So making that decision about what it is that you want, either from today or from the next, you know, 10 hours or the next 10 years, what is it that you want? That act of actually making a choice, making a decision, starts to ignite this empowerment, this feeling of control. One of the antidotes to feeling out of control is to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Because now you recognize how much power you have. When you're feeling out of control, you're usually focused on some sort of circumstance, something that like exists outside of you. Like Matthew said, you know, entrepreneurs, they feel out of control of their income or of how many clients they convert, or, you know, sometimes the leads that they're generating. You know, there's so many things that entrepreneurs, you know, can and cannot control. And what they're focused on often are the things that are outside of their immediate control. I also work with women who feel out of control of their weight, you know, and they step on the scale every morning, and then they go into this self-loathing cycle because they're focused on the three numbers that they're seeing on that scale that they cannot control in that moment, right? Of course, now we can make an argument that they could control it long term, but in that very moment, there is no control over those three numbers. But what you can control is how you're choosing, unintentionally or intentionally, to think about those three numbers, or to think about the dollar in the bank account, or to think about how many clients you have right now. There is a choice to be had. So deciding, okay, I might not be able to control this circumstance that exists outside of me, but what I can control is the way I'm going to think and feel about that circumstance right now. And that's where the self acronym, the self-control operating system, comes into play. Because when you make that decision, now you're on the road to feeling a sense of self-control. You have now gotten off of that path of feeling like everything is out of your control. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Tons of it.
Okay. So, do you want me to tell you what the SELF stands for?
Yeah, let's go for
Master's
it.
excited, so am I. Let's go.
All right, let's do it.
He's leaning in. He's leaning
Okay, so the S stands for self-coaching. Okay, all this is the act of asking yourself questions, which a lot of us don't do. And then that sounds so easy, right? But it is a little bit two-part. You're asking yourself a question, and you can't forget the important part of answering the question. So I spend a lot of time helping my clients learn how to ask themselves questions. It requires you to slow down. It requires you to really understand how, when you ask yourself that question, how does it make you feel? As a matter of fact, the very first question that I encourage everybody to start with is, how are you feeling? Right? How are you feeling right now, this very moment? And if you can't come up with an answer, I always say, go to the Googles, type in feelings wheel. You'll get lists and lists and lists of emotions. You know, read through those, peruse through those, find the one that is most prominent or most resonates with you. So maybe you look through that list and you are like, oh, irritated. That's exactly how I'm feeling. That perfectly describes how I'm feeling. I'm feeling irritated. Okay, so you've answered the first question. How are you feeling? Now I want you to answer the second question. Why are you feeling irritated? And you know, it really requires you to go within. You have to be honest. Like, let's not just answer in a reactive way. Let's really think about that. Why am I irritated? So I know Matthew's going through the hurricane. This is his first hurricane. That can be really irritating because, God, he might not have had enough notice to even go out and get all the things, or maybe he doesn't even know what all the things are, right? Or maybe he lives in a homeowners association that has all of these rules, but he didn't even know these rules because he just moved there. Like, that can be really irritating, right? And so he recognizes these thoughts that are creating the irritation, like, this isn't fair. This shouldn't be happening. How come nobody told me? I haven't had enough time, right? They're very victim-y type thoughts, which is total human nature, but it is actually what's causing that irritation. It's not actually the hurricane. It's the thoughts that he's having about the hurricane that is creating this irritation. And the only way Matthew would ever come to that conclusion is through asking himself these questions. And they're not, you know, very poetic questions. It's just, how am I feeling and why? But that act is so significant because it gets you to slow down and look within and take your gaze, take your focus on all of those things or off of those things that are happening outside of you that you literally have no control over, right? We have no control over circumstances, whether
You
it's
know, I'm listening
or
to, I'm listening to you, and I'm also thinking it makes 1,000% total sense, but some people, they will ask themselves that question. And instead of saying, why am I irritated? They'll say, who's irritating me? So they start the blame game, right? So Matthew can blame the hurricane. He can blame the fact that he was not given enough information. He can blame outside sources instead of saying, like you said, what am I feeling? Take it back to you. I am drinking out of a cup and it says the boss. And when this was given to me, I kind of thought it's like, man, I don't come across that way. But then I said, you know what? That's a great cup because I am the boss of me. I'm the only one who's my boss, right? And I'm not your boss. So even if you work for me, I'm not your boss because you have to be your own boss, including your emotions, including your feelings. So I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just had to throw that in there for you.
Well, that's a great perspective, right? To really intentionally think of yourself as the boss of you. That's a great perspective versus if you are thinking that somebody else is the boss of you, that's a totally different perspective. Both of those perspectives, aka thoughts, make you feel something different. Do you
Yeah,
see that?
so I would love to chime in here for a second because I think a lot of times when I'm talking with different clients, I realize that they're thinking their feelings they're not feeling their feelings. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's safe to stay in your head. But you can have 100 thoughts about a particular feeling. And so typically those thoughts are the symptoms. Mm-hmm. And the feeling is actually the root cause. And so when you get to what you're, when you said, like, you go inside and you get to the root of the feeling, a lot of those thoughts just go away, or they become much clearer. And so the other thing that you said is a lot of times they can't even answer what they're feeling. And that just is proving how disconnected they are from their feelings, because they're typically in their head rather than in their bodies.
Yeah. And there's lots of techniques out there. So if for anybody who's listening, who's like, oh, that's totally me, I'm completely disconnected, there's lots of hope for you, because you can learn how to reconnect with yourself. Right. And so, and using these four steps is the right, you know, path to get on. These are the first steps to really better understanding yourself. So the S is self-coaching, asking yourself questions. How am I feeling and why? And then the E is eliminating the self-sabotage. So many times we stay in this very reactive mode, operating from what I call our primitive brain. So we have, if you think of your brain as this 3-pound organ that exists between your ears, everybody has one. If you were to cut it straight down the middle, the left part is your primitive brain. It's very reactive. It can be very dramatic. Its purpose is to keep you alive. So it's responsible for keeping you breathing without having to think about it, right? Keeping your heart beating, all of those kind of things, which, you know, that's a great thing. Nothing that we should ever be ashamed of. The other part of your brain is your prefrontal cortex. And that's the part of your brain that allows you to be more responsive, allows you to be more intentional, right? You're actually being more strategic. You're thinking through things. So it's also the part of your brain that can allow you to see these reactive, kind of dramatic, fear-based thoughts that your primitive brain is offering you. Without strengthening that prodigy brain, or having a strong enough prodigy brain, you're probably not going to be able to even see these thoughts that are being offered by your primitive brain that have you reacting in a way that leads to unwanted results. So we've got these two parts of our brain, and one is offering us these fear-based thoughts. Like, you walk through the kitchen and there's a plate of cookies. Your fear-based brain says, you better eat those before somebody else does, or before they're not there anymore. And you've eaten not only one, but you've eaten the whole plate, and you're sitting here going, what the heck just happened? I'm on a diet. What was I thinking? Right. And so it's like all of these very fast, unintentional thoughts that you actually don't even know you're having until after you've eaten the cookies. And 10 minutes later, you're sitting on the couch going, here I go again, another failed diet. Right? That's not your fault. That is the fault of your primitive brain that you unintentionally reacted to. And if you have the stronger prodigy brain, you would actually see that happening. So I know that most people have lived the majority of their life operating from the part of their brain that has them very reactive. Mm-hmm. So that looks like indulging in urges. That looks like yelling at your kids when they do or say something that you don't want, right? You're reacting to circumstances. So eliminating that self-sabotage is eliminating these results that you don't like, that you often see as a pattern in your life, only because you're listening to the primitive brain thoughts. Right? You're not even knowing that they're there. You're unintentionally listening and you're reacting, which leads to sabotage. Our primitive brain is meant to keep us alive, but that worked well when we were in a primitive state. Mm-hmm. Right? We're not in any danger, but yet we listen to those very dramatic thoughts and we react, and it sabotages us. So you decide what it is that you want so that you don't just kind of lean into spontaneity or allow life to unfold for you. No, you decide so that you can avoid all of this like self-sabotage that starts to happen. You avoid listening only to your primitive brain. You start strengthening that prodigy brain so that you can call out those saboteur narratives that you're hearing. The judge is very universal. We're either judging ourselves, we're judging other people, or we're judging circumstances. So when you know that about yourself, you can actually be on the lookout for those kinds of thoughts, and you can like intercept right at that moment when you hear or notice the feeling that a self-sabotaging thought causes.
Yeah, that is huge, because it allows us to be in touch with who we are, the emotions that come in, the actions that we even take without realizing, because it's, and you said, it's the fear of somebody's going to have them before me, or if I don't have one, they're going to be gone. Meanwhile, you're the one that you should be afraid of, because you're the one that's going to be eating them all. The other thing that makes me think about everything that you've been saying is that it's truly being centered within yourself, being in the moment, and not saying, you know, maybe I'll restart my diet tomorrow. I'll start saving tomorrow. I'll read that book tomorrow. You put life off and you make excuses for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I can see how the self definitely allows you to be more centered, more in control of your own destiny, if you will, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're asking yourself, you know, the self-coaching questions, why am I feeling this way? You know, how am I feeling and why am I feeling this way? If you are literally writing this down, which I do recommend, I want to be actionable for people, because I know people come to podcasts wanting to have some takeaways. So I would start by encouraging you to take 10 minutes every morning and write down how it is that you are feeling and why, so that you can see in black and white, you know, what these thoughts are. When you see it on paper, you can be a lot more objective about it, and you'll quite quickly see how it is a sabotaging thought. You'll quite quickly see how it is coming from that judge, that saboteur narrative. So that's how you eliminate the self-sabotage. You actually intercept it early on. You recognize it way earlier in the unfolding of your day, your life. You see how, oh my gosh, I used to react to that thought that if I don't eat the cookies, they're not going to be there tomorrow. I used to react to that, but now I see it as a saboteur narrative. It's very dramatic. It's not even true. And I do have a choice to question that thinking. So when you see that thought that's making you feel this urge, you can question it. Like, is that even true? Like, that's not true. Cookies are widely available. I could go get a cookie anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, I found using a journal first thing every morning, I just do one page. And in the beginning, I wouldn't even know what to write. And I would start, I have no idea what I'm going to write about today. Uh-huh. But and perfect. Then you just that. Start going. And what you realize after about the first month is that you're just getting white noise out of your head. You don't even realize all of those distractions. But like you said, once you get that feeling out of you and you can see it, then you can analyze it. But when it's in you, it feels like it is you.
Right.
As soon as you get it out of you, then you go, oh, that's silly. And you naturally just stop thinking that.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be way more objective. Yeah. I think people, you know, identify as or make everything mean something about them. And when you can recognize the function of your human brain and how you just haven't been taught how to think, we've all spent years and years and years and years and years in school being told what to think, right? Mm-hmm. We were never taught how to think. And so it's not your fault, but you need to learn how to use each part of your brain, right? We're going to let the primitive brain do its thing and be kind of operate in this kind of unconscious way. It's this very reactive way to keep us alive so that we don't step out in front of a bus. But we're going to actually use the other part of our brain to question all of the dramatic thoughts that are often offered to us very habitually. Like, we've been exposed to messaging our whole life that has created these primitive brain thoughts. You know, when they sound really dramatic, that's your first like clue that it is coming from your primitive brain. So self-coaching, asking yourself two questions every morning, writing it down so you can see it in black and white and you can be objective about it. Asking yourself, you know, which saboteur is this narrative coming from? So there's 10 saboteurs. We offer a free saboteur assessment that you can take. It takes about 90 seconds and it reveals to you which saboteurs are most prominent in your life. Do you have the people pleaser saboteur? Do you have the victim saboteur? Do you have the judge, the hyperachiever? Like, knowing which ones are most prominent in your life. And some of them you were kind of born with, they kind of stem from your inner strengths, but they're overused and abused. And then some of them are created from the messaging that you've been exposed to all of your life, or the cultures that you've lived in and what you've been indoctrinated into. So knowing which saboteur narratives you're most likely to hear is very helpful because you can intercept it quicker. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the key, is knowing which saboteurs are out there that you're listening to, questioning those thoughts and asking yourself, you know, is this a thought that if I react to, I'm going to self-sabotage? The answer is almost yes, if it's dramatic and you find yourself reacting, right? Or if it feels very habitual, that's another sign. So that's the S and the E. The L is leveraging your strengths. So when you are operating from your prodigy brain, your prefrontal cortex, you can tap into strengths like empathy, discovery, innovation. You can navigate from a place of your own values. And then you're very concise in your way of activating. You're actually moving with a lot of confidence. You're moving forward quickly and with like laser focus. Those are the strengths that are only available to you when you're operating from your prodigy brain. Mm-hmm. They are not available to you when you're spinning out in frustration and irritation and urges. When you're operating from that place, you're being very reactive and you're often not even thinking. So we want to teach you how to tap into these strengths that are only available to you from your prodigy brain, like empathy. So when you notice you're judging circumstances like the hurricane, or you're judging your mom for bringing over the plate of cookies in the first place when she knew you were on a diet, right? Or you're judging yourself like, oh my God, when am I going to stop opening up that bottle of wine every single night? Like, we're either judging ourselves, we're judging others, or we're judging circumstances. And when you notice that, if your prodigy brain is strong enough, the antidote is having some empathy. When you can tap into empathy, you extinguish that judge narrative that feels so painful. We don't want to judge because it feels painful. Nobody else is feeling that pain. You're feeling the pain, right? Yeah. So we want to go to the root cause of that narrative. And when you can tap into empathy, like, you know, what's the most loving and compassionate thing I can say to myself in this moment? Or maybe that person, maybe my mom had no idea I was even on a diet. What was her truest aspiration behind bringing over the cookies, right?
Love.
Yeah, right.
She loves you.
Yeah. You see that? Like, you tap into empathy and it almost squashes that, you know, those feelings, those urgent feelings that the reactive part of your brain creates for you. So leveraging those kinds of strengths is another way. It's the third step in the four-step system of creating a sense of self-control. And that final step is forging intentional results. Mm-hmm. You have to be in an intentional state. You have to be making intentional decisions moment by moment by moment. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of techniques. There's meditation techniques. There's mental fitness techniques that keep you in this intentional state. But again, going back to like, carving out 10 minutes every single day and support that desire to have those 10 minutes with yourself by going into your calendar right now and blocking it off for the next week. Take 10 minutes so that you can start by asking yourself those questions, so that you can eliminate those self-sabotaging narratives, so that you can learn to tap into things like empathy. Forging intentional results is not hard. It just requires you to stay intentional, to make a decision, and big and small, right? So we have clients that will come to us wanting to lose weight. We know that there's best practices to losing weight. You know, personally, I believe going through that like metabolic door, making sure that, you know, you're looking at your blood glucose and you're monitoring things like sleep and your gut health and things like that. Those are best practices. So most people will say, just tell me what to do. Just give me the list of things to eat or the list of things not to eat. That's starting with actions.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not going to create sustainable results. Those are the fourth step in a four-step system. You've got to understand yourself first before you start taking actions. Actions alone will probably work for anything that you want to create. The question is it sustainable?
Sustainable.
Everybody who's ever tried to lose weight, they can lose weight. The question is, can they keep it off, right? Or can they enjoy the journey of losing weight? So the self-operating system is extremely helpful in understanding yourself. It's also extremely helpful in creating sustainable results. It's also extremely helpful in creating a journey that you actually love, that you're not just like white knuckling your way through. So there you have it.
I want to jump in and talk about perspective, because a lot of people will say, or they don't look at the picture, or they don't look at the whole picture. They only see one thing, like one glass of wine. It's only one glass of wine times 30. That's 30 glasses of wine you had in a month.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I've had zero. But so, or, you know, I want to lose weight, but, you know, this fast food, it's only for today. And then, oh, wait a minute. I don't have time. So let me go get more fast food today, because I don't have time. I'm busy. And then so the excuses start to pile on, and we make excuses for ourselves, and that's why I'll start again tomorrow, or it's only one cookie, or it's only one glass of wine. But we're not looking at the bigger picture, which is the end results. So a lot of people don't see the effects that one small action can truly have on your life. It's that ripple effect, throwing that stone or that pebble in the pond, where it does have a ripple effect. It affects not only you, but those around you. If you're a boss, if you're a leader, if you own your own company, every little action that we take every single day affects not only your life, but the lives of those around you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always try to. I think a lot of times people look at the end goal, and then if they mess up on the way to that, they give up, or they go, oh, it's not going to happen. But what I liked what Tracy said, that it needs to be sustainable. And so the way that I look at it is I just try to get a single every day instead of trying to be this home run hitter. Like everybody thinks about like, oh, I want this like financial freedom. I want like, you know, the six pack abs and all these different things. And then as soon as they mess up, they go, oh, that's just not for me. But really, any of those people that get to those points, it's because they're doing something that's sustainable. It's one act every single day. And so I say hit a single every day in your body, hit a single every day in your relationship with yourself, your relationship with others, and then in your business. And if you do that, if you get that single every day, if you think about it, by the fourth day or the fifth day, you're driving a run every single day. And that home run hitter has already struck out. By the end of the month, you have 26 runs, and the chances of them having 26 runs and 30 at bats is much, much smaller. And so a couple months down the road with a single every day, you're so far ahead of those people that are trying to do something that's unsustainable that you now have momentum in your life.
Right. And every single time that you come up against that plate of cookies or that bottle of wine, instead of thinking, you know, here we go again, I want you to be thinking like, here's my at bat. This is my opportunity to strengthen my prodigy brain, my prefrontal cortex, to really give it a chance to recognize what's actually going on. So instead of making it mean something about you, like the duality of good and bad, right and wrong, needs to be thrown out the window. It's like, can I just be a human being who has primitive-based thoughts and prodigy-based thoughts? Like, I can have both. Which one am I having right now? You're a human being. And so when you have those like opportunities, like start thinking of them as opportunities or at bats, like those are the opportunities that are going to strengthen the part of your brain that you really want to be strengthening. Let's stop living in a very habitual, unconscious way, strengthening our primitive brain. Let's start with intention of operating and looking at all of these circumstances, going through the hurricane, walking through the kitchen with the plate of cookies, coming home after a stressful day at work, looking at that wine refrigerator. I want you to think about that as an at bat. Nothing has gone wrong. These are circumstances that are going to actually be a gift and an opportunity for you.
Yeah, and I love the bat analogy, because if you think about it, if you can take your day as nine innings, you come up to bat several times, but that doesn't mean you're always going to even hit a single. Right. Sometimes you may hit a double. Sometimes it may be a triple. Sometimes it may be a foul ball. I mean, hey, good try. Sometimes you're going to strike out. That doesn't mean that you don't get another chance. And I think one of the things that a lot of people, and you said it earlier, that they're halfway through something and they failed and they give up. So it's a matter of stay in the game. And the game is life.
Yeah.
Stay in the game of life. When people truly give up, that's where we have suicide. That's where people totally give up on themselves. And instead of saying, you know, it's okay. You know, one of the things about the self, I think, is that we, and you're probably going to get into this part too, Tracy, but it's that forgiveness, right? We have to forgive ourselves, because no one, and I've met so many people, and I'm still looking for that person, is perfect. I've never met them, but man, if you ever come across them, please put me on the, you know, 911, call me right away, because I want to know who they are and what they're doing, because perfect is something that we all strive for. And when we don't achieve it, we beat ourselves. We sabotage ourselves. We keep saying, I'm no good. I'm not worthy. And there's so many people out there in the world who keep saying that daily. I'm no good. And maybe it's because their parents were yelling at them every night, or somebody kept telling them, no, 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 you're no good. You're no good. We need to reconsider that some people will do things for us because they love us, but that love actually hurts us. Because what happens on Valentine's Day? Everybody gives each other chocolate or candy. And is chocolate or candy good for you? No, it's not. But I love you. Here's this 10 pounds of chocolate. Enjoy it. Right. And don't let it go bad, because, you know, I bought it for you. So now I'm going to make you feel guilty if you don't eat it all. So when we are showing love, sometimes we're hurting somebody unintentionally. So we need to reassess the way we even show our love for someone else. And we also need to let somebody know, hey, you know what, Mom, I'm not on a diet. But, you know, I don't want to offend you, because I'm not eating cookies today. But thank you, because I've been to so many people's families and my mom's Italian. You have to eat her food. Mm-hmm. And I will have a serving, not three or four, like she keeps pushing. And she's like, I'm just I'm a mom. I'm going to love you. And I'm like, thank you. I'll take a hug. It's going to cost me. less around my body and more to my heart. So it's how we accept the love that somebody's giving us. So I think one of the things is also accepting the love, accepting the giving nature of people, and letting them know where you stand, and don't let them guilt you into doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, I liked what you said too about I'm going to choose not to do that today. A lot of times, if you think to yourself, oh, I can never have cookies again, that makes you want to have more cookies. So if you just say, I'm making the choice today, my single in my body is no cookies. So just for today. And that's a much easier choice than I'm not going to have cookies anymore.
Right. Yeah. Those extreme thoughts are at the effect of our primitive brain.
That's the saboteur.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, those saboteur narratives, like I said, there's 10 of them. And Raphael, the one that you were just kind of mentioning is more of that hyper achiever saboteur narrative. And again, it makes you feel unworthy. It makes you feel empty, often depressed. You feel very vulnerable because you're dependent on constant performance and achievement so that you can give yourself that respect or that validation. It has you focused on a lot of external validation and really craving or being driven by other people's like acceptance. And what it leads to is unsustainable tendencies. It leads to a loss of like touch with your deeper emotional and relationship needs. And so knowing that, it'll have you listening to thoughts like, you know, if there's, I'm not going to do it unless I can be perfect. You know, if I don't succeed, I'm a failure. I have to be the best. I can't be satisfied with just okay. Those are all hyperachiever type narratives that if you know are most prominent in your life, you can be on the lookout for them. And I also want to kind of underline the fact that all of these narratives are birthed from your inherent strengths. So the people who hear those hyperachiever narratives, those are the people that are most driven, pragmatic, goal-oriented, they're self-directed, and they're often very capable of growing themselves and other people. So those are inherent strengths that it's actually being birthed from, but they're being overused and abused. So you can tap into those strengths without overusing them. And so again, that's a function of your prodigy brain. So it all, like, which part of your brain are you operating from? That's why we call this self-operating system. You got to understand the neuroscience. It's not you and like your humanity, like if you're good or if you're bad. It's no, which part of my brain am I operating from? That's it. Like that's the like $50 million question right there. So you can just really take off that identity of being a broken person. That's not true. You just haven't learned about yourself. You've been taught all of these things in regards to what to think. You've never been taught how to think. That's it. That's the solution right there.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I'm sorry, go ahead, Matthew.
I was just going to say most of those thoughts are just coping mechanisms or behavioral adaptations to the trauma that we were receiving as a child. And so it's not something that we intentionally did, but then our brain to protect us goes out and looks for that confirmation bias. So it'll find all the reasons. When you eat the plate of cookies, you go, see, I am broken. I knew it all along. That's just how I am. Yeah. And so it's literally feeding itself until you become aware, because most people are walking around unaware. Once you're aware, then you can make a choice about it.
Right. Yeah. Your primitive brain is always looking for evidence because it wants to be right. It wants to be right. So it gives you a thought. And then isn't it interesting how you end up living that thought? You manifest exactly what you're believing. But if you're unintentionally believing something that's very dramatic and untrue, it's going to unfold into experiences or a life that you'd rather not be living. And so we need to have a heightened sense of awareness around that. see how your primitive brain is driving you to find evidence so it can be right. It happens all day, every day. We don't even recognize that's what's going on. And so learning that about yourself can be so liberating.
It can. You know, one of the things that I think that today's discussion was really, really eye-opening for so many people. And I hope that we all were able to impact them in a certain way, because what I'm gathering from our conversation is that the one that should truly paint the picture, that self-portrait, it truly is the self, right? It should be you. Because a lot of times we see ourselves through everyone else's eyes. We have been told, hey, you're like this. Oh, you're like this. Sometimes people will say, and I've heard it, even said to other people, say, are you having a bad day? And then all of a sudden they start thinking, maybe I am having a bad day. Why are you mad? What do you mean? I'm not mad. So it's that other people are painting a picture and we're accepting that instead of saying, hey, you know what? Every thought, I'm going to analyze it and make sure it's who I am, how I feel. This has been a great topic. I just want everybody to understand that there is no judgment unless you make it, right? We are the judges of our lives, but we also wind up judging other people. So if you stop judging other people and judge the most important person, not necessarily judge in a negative way, but judge is this good for me? Is this going to benefit me? How is this person in my life enriching my life? Or are they hurting me? Is my mom hurting me? Is my dad hurting me? Is my partner hurting me? Or not intentionally, because they love me, right? And they want what's best for me. But meanwhile, they're telling me because they're afraid for me not to fail. They don't want to see me fail. So they'll say, I don't know if you should start that new business because you have a good job. You should stay where you are. Stay in your lane. Man, do I hate that lane. I break out of lanes all the time. I want to let you know, both of you, that you were really amazing today. And we are out of time. So what's the one thing that you want to leave everybody? What's a great one thought that you want to leave? Matthew, I'll start with you.
Oh, you put me on the spot.
Always.
I was thinking about what you're saying. Well, I would say the thing that's helped me the most is learning how to give myself love and understanding rather than judgment. Mm-hmm. And so when I do mess up, understand that, okay, I made that choice today, but tomorrow I get a new choice. And so instead of making it the long term that I have to achieve this certain thing, breaking it down into those bite-sized chunks and stop judging myself allowed me to have much deeper connections, one within, and then that also produced better connections with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I may have failed today, but there's always tomorrow, right? The sun will come up tomorrow. Sometimes I like to tell my clients when they'll go, man, I just cheated on that diet I was on. And they'll say, well, tomorrow I can start again. I said, why are you going to wait till tomorrow? Yeah. You just cheated. That doesn't give you an excuse to say, oh, well, now I'm going to have extra because today all of a sudden just opened up and I'm going to go be a glutton. So sometimes it's understanding the mistake you just made, but don't continue in it, right? Yeah. Tracy, what would you say to someone in a short?
Yeah, so I would say if you're somebody who consistently thinks that you're the common denominator to all of your problems, because I think that that's quite common. People look, their primitive brain is out there looking, scanning for all the danger, saying that's a problem. I have a problem with my relationships. I have a problem at work. I have a problem with my health. So therefore I'm the common denominator. I'm the problem. I would challenge you to start thinking of yourself as the solution, better understanding yourself, and you will quickly realize that you are not the problem, that you are the solution, that you have just never learned how to understand yourself to actually be able to like intentionally use that framework and get it what it is that you actually want. So quit thinking of yourself as the problem. We'll use that math analogy. You're not the common denominator. You are actually the solution. Any sort of goal, any sort of desire, any sort of outcome that you want is just a progress, a journey of solving problems. Problems don't have to be inherently bad, right? They're your at-bats. So that's what I'd have you consider. Try on that identity as becoming the solution instead of being the problem.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you both. I truly, truly appreciate you. Do me a favor, everybody. If you enjoyed today's conversation, follow, like, share, and share this with your friends and family. Somebody may need to hear this, especially if they're the ones that are loving you too much and it's kind of hurting you in a bad way. But love everyone that you come in touch with, because guess what? We live in a crazy world, and more love will help us all. Thank you, everybody. Have an amazing rest of your day. Take care.